You're listening to an audio podcast from Cherish Women's Ministry. To find out more about our yearly conference, go to thecherishconference.com.
But I just wanted to again say, you guys are amazing. And tonight I really feel like, do you know how when God just puts something in your heart and you just get so excited, you just can't wait? Well, I just feel like I've been praying all day about what God wanted to do here and you beautiful Cherish ladies, because you've got a few months that when seed gets planted, it gets to sit in there for a bit and germinate. And how many of you know whenever you give women something, we're going to grow it. You give us a seed, 9 months, we'll give you a baby. Whatever you plant in this garden, we're going to grow it. And I just believe good seeds will be planted tonight on really good soil. But I have a favor to ask of you. So how many of you got to go eat some tacos tonight, right? Okay, so I brought something with me from Charlotte because I was thinking that after eating all these tacos, we might need these. And this is from my own personal collection, but I was wondering how many of you gorgeous San Diego ladies have a pair of these. Does anybody have any of these? Do you know what these are? Come on, come on, let me hear you. What are they? How many of you love your Spanx? How many of you think Jesus made Spanx? They're amazing. Do you know what I love about them? Is you can hide stuff, tuck stuff, squish stuff, smush stuff, you know, drag and bag and stuff. You can pull it up and you can slide these puppies on and you look like smooth as butter. I mean, you look good. You look good. But when you take them off, it just kind of all, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. But I want to ask you if you would do something really amazing for me. Would you mind taking them off tonight? Would you mind letting it out tonight? Would you mind letting the real you come through? Would you take off the spiritual Spanx? Because I really think God wants to do something in us. I really think that he wants to do something big, but sometimes we got to let go of our comfort just a little bit. We all got some stretch marks if we had a baby. It's okay. We're all in company here. And some of you are going, okay, that's cool. All right, I'll take my Spanx off. That's it. I'm done. No problem. But you know what? Sometimes here's what we do. We just get out a flesh-colored pair. We go, nobody's going to know. Nobody will see. But let me just tell you, us girls, we're discerning. We know when you got them on. And so if we all take them off, then we're all on the same playing field, right? So we'll take those off. Well, I wanted to show you a picture because I figured the first thing that I needed to do is make sure that spiritually I'm taking off my Spanx in front of you, because I can't ask you to do anything that I won't do myself. So I wanted to take mine off tonight and just let you know a little bit about who I am and what I've come from. I wanted them to put up a picture of my family. I've got 3 children. There they are. So this is my mini-me, so Jesus, pray for me, because it's really hard to discipline someone who's just like you. So I'm like, Troy, you need to discipline your child. And he's like, she's your child too. And I said, but how am I supposed to use an inside voice when I don't know what that is and I'm trying to tell her? So she's 14, and then this is my 18-year-old son, and this is my 16-year-old daughter and my husband. And here's the thing that I want you to know. I have 3 amazing children who love God with all of their heart. They are such beautiful, precious, wonderful children who have grown up in God's house, and they are a product of God's house. My 18-year-old is in Bible school right now. He wants to be a pastor. I love when he calls the house because he's like wanting to get in all these conversations about Melchizedek. And I'm like, dude, come on, seriously, it's 10:30 at night. I don't really want to talk about Melchizedek tonight. But he's like, Mom, I'm just learning so much and I'm growing and just God is doing things in my world and I love it. I love the fact that he has preserved his heart, he's preserved his purity, he's preserved his life, and he feels that call in his life. And then there's my 16-year-old. She is just the sweetest, kindest thing. I love her to pieces. Her and my 14-year-old, every single service, we have 5 services on the weekend. They serve all 5 services. I asked them not to. And they said, Mom, are you really going to ask us not to serve at God's house? I mean, we are giving everything because we love being here. There's nowhere else we'd rather be. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, how about if you just don't serve every service? I'll let you be there, but just don't serve every service. She's like, well, I'm not. Well, like one service, I'm in the kids ministry. One service, I'm running camera. One service, I'm doing behind the stage. One service, I'm doing kids check-in. And then one service, that's the service I don't serve. I'm working in the coffee shop. And I go, sweetie, working in the coffee shop is working. She's like, no, it's not. It's just giving people coffee. That's how my children are. And I just want you to know that I just celebrated, I have a picture of my husband and I just celebrated 23 years of marriage. I know, you're like, really? I thought she was like 25. Just kidding. No, I just turned 44 and I'm proud of being 44. But here's the thing that I love is my husband says, Babe, when you say we've been married for 23 years, you got to make it plain these days. It's 23 years to the same person all in a row. So 23 years to my very best friend all in a row. But here's the thing I want you to know. Here's the part where I want to be really real with you, because you can look at these pictures. You can go, oh my goodness, their hair is done just right. We had somebody style it. You can go, their clothes match. We had somebody help with that too. And I'm sure both those pictures were totally airbrushed and they took all of our wrinkles out. And sometimes we look at somebody's highlight reel and we judge our life by somebody's highlight reel, by their airbrushed life. And let me just tell you that my family's amazing, my marriage is amazing, and my children are absolutely amazing. But I have to tell you, oftentimes we look at people that come up here and are on the platform, maybe the cherished speakers or maybe even our pastors sometimes or the leaders, and we have no idea what their story is. We have no idea what they've come from, what they've walked through. Let me just tell you, you are looking at a girl who grew up her entire life completely broken. Completely broken. When I say I've been married for 23 years, that's a big deal, because between my mother and my father, there were 8 marriages. My brothers and I have 2 brothers. We grew up in the same house. All 3 of us have 3 different fathers. From the time I was 4 years old till the time I was 11 years old, I was sexually molested by my grandfather. And it could have happened even further back than that, but 4 years old is as early as my mind remembers. I don't remember any earlier, but I remember at 11 years old having to stand up on the witness stand and point across the room as a young girl, and point at my grandfather as they put him in handcuffs and took him to jail because of what he had done to me. And I found out later that it wasn't just me. He had done it to other little girls too. So when you look at all the pictures and you look at how wonderful life is right now, let me just tell you, there is a big price paid to be where I am today, to walk through the things I have walked through. I think oftentimes we look at people's lives and we just think that they've arrived, or that they're somewhere, or that their life was easy. And that's so not true. I wish I could tell you that standing here today that I had a good relationship with my parents. Unfortunately, my father died this year of alcoholism. He had been an alcoholic his entire life, and he passed away from cirrhosis of the liver. My mother, I haven't talked to her in years and years and years, unfortunately. She's narcissistic, and we've had to draw some pretty high boundaries around our family because we care about the health of our family. It doesn't matter. You don't get a buy-in because your blood is the same as mine. We're protecting our marriage and our family no matter what. That's number one. A lot of things happened in my life. I remember as a little girl, I was in 4th grade. And when I didn't feel good, I went to school anyway. Because what I knew is I knew both of my parents worked. And I would get sent to my grandparents' house. And you know what was going to happen to me if I got sent to my grandparents' house? So I remember going to school completely sick. And I stood in the middle of the floor and I threw up all over the floor in the hallway. And I was so embarrassed. The nurse came from the clinic and she got me and she brought me up to the clinic. And she said, "We're going to have to call your parents." And I said, no, I'm not sick. I'm fine. I promise you, I'm fine. I don't know what happened. I must have eaten something. I'm okay. She said, "No, sweetie, you're running a temperature. I got to send you home." About 20 minutes later, my grandfather comes in the building. And I remember holding on to her, not wanting to go home. See, what she didn't understand is I was much safer there with her in the clinic than I would be leaving. But I got sent home that day. So sometimes before we look at the pictures and before we see where somebody is or wish we had their life, you can have the same life that God has promised you to have. But there's something you have to do. You have to be willing to be broken. And I know that doesn't sound so good, and being broken doesn't sound spiritual. But let me just tell you, there was this guy in the Bible, and I love him. I love him. He was a man that had a withered hand. And his whole life he had walked around with this withered hand. And back in that time when there was something deformed on you, man, you were an outcast of society. They didn't have special rules where you could get along and things would be good and we were gracious. No. Back in that day, you were considered unclean. So here's this man with a withered hand. And everywhere he would have to go, he'd have to shout out that he was messed up. So, you know, when that is your life, you kind of want to hide what's wrong. You don't want anybody to see it. It's a little bit embarrassing. It kind of makes you feel awkward that people are staring at you, that they're thinking something's wrong with you. He was born that way. He didn't get to pick that. Some of you didn't get to pick the families that you were in, that you were born into. Stuff just happened in life to you. And you've got a withered hand, and you're going, "I'm not sure what to do with this withered hand. I just know it's brought me some pain in life. But I'm not really sure how to handle it. I'm not really sure what to do." And here this guy, he has this chance encounter with Jesus. And he comes out, and he's in the middle of this big square, lots and lots of people, multitudes. And Jesus says to him, this man with the withered hand who his whole life has been trying just to feel normal, just to feel okay, just to feel that he's accepted. He's been hiding it. And Jesus comes up to him and he says, "Stretch out your hand." And the guy's going, okay. He's asked me to stretch out my hand. So what do I do? Like, everybody's watching me. Everybody's looking right now. All eyes are on me. And there's a lot of people. I'm not sure I want to do that. Do you know what a lot of us do? A lot of us go, "Oh, okay, here you go. I'll stretch it out, see? Look at all my arm candy. Look how gorgeous that is. You see this side of me? This is the hand I'm going to show you with my bling on it, with all the pretty stuff." The problem with that is this. You stretch out that one, and you completely miss what God wants to do. And the thing that I love is Jesus never said to him, "Stretch out your withered hand." He never said that. He said, "Stretch out your hand." In other words, you choose. You get to decide what you let me have. The ball is in your court. And he's got to make a decision. Do I make myself look really good so everybody approves of me and they think that my life is just wonderful? Or am I going to stretch out the withered one? And he stretches out the withered hand. And the Bible says that he was completely and totally made whole. He made the right choice. He stretched out the right hand. But think about it for just a second. Think about all of us walking through life. We've had situations happen. We've had things happen that were out of our control. I did not choose to be sexually abused. I did not choose to be physically abused by my mother or emotionally abused. I didn't choose any of that. And for a long time, I always asked God why. And honestly, I got a little angry. I always felt like I had to start like the Bad News Bears, like bottom of the ninth, that I never got to start on a fair playing field as everyone else. But see, I had an opportunity. What are you going to do with your brokenness? Are you going to use it as an excuse your whole life, or am I going to do something with it? Am I going to take my mess and turn it into a message, or am I just going to sit and build a campfire around it and kumbaya about how everything is so bad and I'm a victim? This guy had a choice, and we all have a choice too. I love the story of the guy with the withered hand because he felt broken, but he encountered Jesus, and God completely did something amazing in his life. Think about bones for a second. I had a friend who had a skiing accident, and she didn't realize at the time, but she had broken her nose. And she was a really good skier, so it was a little bit embarrassing when she found out that she had broken her nose. She didn't really want everybody to know, but she had broken her nose. And so they told her, they said, hey, listen, your nose has already started to heal, but it's healing improperly, and you're having problems with it. So we're going to have to re-break this in order to set it straight and make it heal properly. That's not what you really want to hear, but you know what? That's what you need to hear. She needed to have that bone set straight so she could be whole and healthy. And I love this scripture in the Bible in Psalms 11:7. It said, God's business is putting things right. He loves getting the lines straight, setting us straight. Once we're standing tall, we can look him straight in the eye. You see, here's what happens. We go through these accidental breaks in life. Hurts come, pains come. They're accidental. Because I remember going, God, why aren't more people getting healed? Why don't we have more stories of amazing marriages? Why is the divorce rate where it is? Why are our kids acting crazy? And like, what's going on? And he so clearly spoke to my heart. And he said, accidental breaks happen in life, but an intentional break, that's anticipated, and you know it's going to hurt. So oftentimes, when we know there's going to be hurt, we opt out. You hurt me by accident, that just happens. But you gotta brace me when I know you're going to be cracking my nose. That hurts. And I know you're going to do it. So oftentimes, we opt out and we miss out on our healing. We miss out on what God wants to do in our life. You see, here can be our philosophy sometimes. Our philosophy sometimes is, well, let me just ask you, how many of you, by a show of hands, would say, I want the promises of God in my life? Just throw your hands up. I want God's promises in my life. All of us do. But here's what we want sometimes. What we want sometimes is we go, God, I want your promises. But here's what I want, God. I want the Noah promise, like the rainbow, the real pretty Noah promise, all the beautiful rainbows and unicorn. That's what I want. I want that promise. But you know, oftentimes what he does is he gives us the Abraham promise where he says, you want to be a great nation? I'm going to have to cut you. Abraham had to be circumcised before the promise of God could come through in his life. And we don't like that promise. We like the rainbow promise, right? And so when we know we have to be cut, I mean, think about it. If you know, and I'm not even a man, I don't have male parts, but that just sounds like it hurts. You got to lay stuff on the altar and it has to be cut and it's a sensitive area. All of us have sensitive areas in our life that we're going to have to lay out there on the altar. And man, it's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to hurt. But here's what I love. This is what I love. Romans 11:29 says this, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. It's never canceled and it's never rescinded. In other words, it doesn't matter how broken you are. God will never, ever take his promises back from you. You know why? Because every child knows that when something's broken, you just take it to daddy. Daddy'll fix it. Every child knows that. Daddy's a fixer. Daddy'll fix it. Some of you are going, girlfriend, I did not want to hear a message about being broken. And I'm just telling you, here's the deal. God wants you to be broken because it's not a bad thing. We often look at brokenness as weakness. But I'm telling you, it's not weak when you got to lay that sensitive stuff on the altar and have it cut up. That is not weak. That's anticipated pain, and that is a very strong person. But he wants to break us so we can become what we are supposed to be. And you go, okay, give me some scriptures. I need some scriptures. You show me in the Bible what was broken to become what it was supposed to be. Okay, think about this for a second. Think about the little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here he is. He's listening to Jesus preach, and they all get really hungry, and the disciples are like, hey, we need to send them away to get some food. And Jesus is like, no, you feed them. And they're going, what are we going to feed them with? Well, this little boy just offers what he has. 5 loaves, 2 fish. It's all he's got. He gives it over, and what does Jesus do? Jesus blesses it, and then he what? He breaks it, and after the breaking came the miracle. There was so much of a miracle. It's the only miracle that Jesus ever did that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. The only one. The only one. All 4 Gospels. And not only did Jesus break it, but guess what the Bible also says? At the end of the miracle, they cleaned all of it up, and it says there were 12 baskets of fragments. Do you know what fragments are? Things that are broken. Even those broken fragments have a purpose. Our brokenness has a purpose so we can become what God wants us to become. In Judges chapter 7, there's this picture. And this pitcher is sitting there and it's broken. And it talks about how the light came through. The only way the light could come through that pitcher is because of the cracks that were in it. The light can't come through you without those cracks. And we got to embrace those cracks. The cracks aren't bad. It's what you do with the cracks that's what matters. And my girlfriend over here who had the little crack issue, it's what you do with that crack, girl. It's what you do with the crack that matters. Okay, what else is broken to become? Okay, here you are. The Israelites are in the desert. The Bible says, you know, they've estimated it's about 1 million people in the desert. Desert, no water. You guys get that right now, don't you? Yeah, I thought so, San Diego, in a drought right now. Here's the deal. They're in the desert, no water. What happens? A rock breaks open and water gushes out. Broken to become. There's a purpose in brokenness. There's a purpose. How about this? There's these 4 amazing friends, and they take this paralyzed guy who's laying on a mat. And let me just tell you, girls, by the way, all you need is 4 amazing friends in life. I'm convinced. I've got some here on the front row, some amazing, amazing friends. All you need in life is 4 great friends. These 4 great friends, they take this paralyzed man who can't get anywhere on his own, and they take him to go see Jesus. But when they get there, when they get to the house, they realize, oh my gosh, this is so crowded. They're like having a house party. Everything's going. They're like making it rain. Jesus doing miracles. All this craziness is going on up in there. They can't even get close. So they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay, we got to be smart. We got to help our friends. So they decide that they're going to go up on the roof. And what do they do to the roof? They break it open. And when they break open that roof and they lower their friend, healing comes to him. Through broken. That was the only way they could get in, was through the broken spot. Sometimes that's the only way God can get a hold of us, is through broken. And here's the cool thing, is not only did his physical body get healed, but the Bible says that his sins were also forgiven. And I was like, yo, Jesus, what in the world? He's a paralyzed man. Like, what kind of sins does a paralyzed man have? I mean, he can't, like, it's not like he's shoplifting. It's not like he's cheated on his wife. I mean, he can't move, right? Like, what did the guy do? Like, what kind of sins is he committing? But here's the thing. It was like God said, you know, there's a lot of us in paralysis. There's a lot of things on the inside. Maybe that man resented people that could walk. Maybe he looked at somebody else's life or somebody else's story and said, why not me, God? Why do they get to God? Maybe he never got married, and maybe he was thinking, you know, I thought I'd be married by now, God. What about me? You've overlooked me. I've been laying here on this mat. Many of us have those internal things. Oftentimes, we just think it's the sin of commission. What about the sin of omission? What about what we're not doing that we should be? You know, maybe he was angry or bitter or resentful. We don't know. We just know he had sin and he was in a paralyzed state. I love the story of the woman who is at the feet of Jesus, and she takes something that's very expensive and something very precious, and she breaks it open at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says she was a prostitute. A year's worth of wages were in that little jar that she broke open at the feet of Jesus. A year's worth. How many men must that little jar have cost her? And she breaks it open right there at the feet of Jesus. How many men? And you know, here's the thing that happens sometimes, guys. Sometimes we're doing God's will and the crowd starts to speak. Because they started going, why this waste? Why this waste? But let me just tell you this, God will never waste a hurt. Whatever you've been through, whatever has happened in your life, he will never waste it. Not one drop of your precious tears, of your precious oil will ever be wasted. Ever. He'll never waste that. The thing that's also so amazing about this story is that she didn't even know, but when she was breaking open that oil, she was preparing Jesus's body for the ultimate break, the intentional break. He chose to be broken so you and I didn't have to stay that way. You know, in our lives, a lot of us, how many of you are moms in here? So if any of you have had a child, you understand that the promise doesn't come without something breaking. And boy, does it break. Some of you are like, oh, stop, oh. Some of you, it's like a little too soon to be talking about that. Right, Breezy? You're like, don't be talking. It's still fresh in my mind. The break times two. But here's the thing that you also know. And for those of you who haven't had kids yet, just cover your ears because this is where it gets a little, you know. Here's the thing you also know. Your doctor would tell you he would rather cut you than let you tear, because on your own, if you tear, your healing is delayed. He says, I would rather cut you and stitch you up properly than let you rip. That's a big deal, guys. Sometimes we're thinking if we just tear on our own, we're going to be okay. And then our healing gets delayed. And God's going, no, no, no. No, I've got something better for you than the guy that you're with. No, you're just delaying the plan I have for you. Don't shortcut it. See, here's the deal. If we really, truly believed we had a father that had our best interest in mind, we would just rest and feel safe in his arms. But sometimes if we question that he really has our best in mind, and I know because of the way that I grew up, I had to struggle with that. Now, I never, ever worried about God providing for me financially because my dad did that right. My dad was a wealthy man. He did a lot of business transactions, and I always saw him as a good provider. So never once growing up, or even to this day, have I ever struggled to believe God could provide financially. But I constantly struggled believing there was a God, a Father, who could love me unconditionally, because I didn't see that. God had to break me and mold me and make me. And you know what? He's still breaking me today. It's not like you make the decision one time and then that's it. It's kind of like going to the gym. You make the decision and then you got to manage that stinking decision every single day. I'm still working on that one. But I was reading this story, and I love this because I was reading about this Asian pottery that they, over in China and over in Japan, I was reading about how they were sending pots back and forth, and they were, you know, in transit, they were getting broken. And so these clay pots were just getting smashed over and over, and they would take these clay pots and they would just throw them away in the trash and discard them. And this guy decided, you know, I feel like we're wasting this brokenness. I feel like it's being wasted. And they're like, no, they're worthless. They're not worth anything. They're broken. They were intended to hold something. They can't hold anything. They're worthless. And this guy who was an artist said, you know, I don't believe that. I believe there's still value in these broken vessels. And so he began to take these pots, and he began to, where every single crack was, he began to fill them with gold. And he put them back together again. And people started noticing what he was doing, and they're like, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. And people started wanting to buy them, and he couldn't find all the broken pieces fast enough. People just kept buying them and buying them. And they're extremely expensive because of all the gold and the handiwork, and they're all one of a kind because they've all been broken differently. They all have different breaks. And I actually brought some pictures of the different pots that he made, and I wanted to show them to you. And it's a really long Asian name of what they're called. There's one of them. One of the broken pots they filled in with gold. Can you flip to some more? There's another one. See how gorgeous it is? It becomes a piece of art. It becomes a masterpiece. Look at that. These were broken clay pots that he filled in with gold. Look at how gorgeous they are. So here's the interesting thing that happened. It started catching on that this guy was taking something that was worthless and making it priceless. And so here's what people started doing. They started taking their pots that were fine, and they started smashing them. They started intentionally breaking them so they could be way more valuable than they were before. So he kept filling in the pots with gold. And you know, I feel like God wants to do that with us tonight. He wants to fill in our cracks with gold. And sometimes we resent those cracks. I'm going to tell you, there's many times in life that I said, this just isn't fair. I don't get to start on ground zero. I had to start from like negative 50 and just work my way to zero. And I always had to repair my past instead of getting to prepare for my future. And I would just do this whole, this isn't fair. But here's what God told me one time. And I really love this. He said, don't you dare ever resent your scars. And he said, as a matter of fact, do you know what? When he got raised from the dead, Jesus came back with scars. He didn't say, hey, God, by the way, remove all the scars. He came back with scars for a reason, because he knew there'd be a Thomas. He knew there'd be some disciples that would say, hey, I don't know if I believe you. And you go, oh, no, here, it's me. Some of you, you just need to pull your sleeves back, because somebody's waiting on the other side of your obedience. They want to hear your story. They want to know what happened and how you made it through. How no matter what happened in life, you were resilient. You bounced back. You came back. Will you stand on your feet with me tonight? The worship team is going to come up and play. And I feel like there are some ladies in here, and it's time to just stretch it out. No more putting this hand out with the bling and the arm candy. But man, you're tired. You're wounded. You've had some things in life that maybe it's not a scar, but it's still a scab. Let's work on that. Let's get healing tonight. And I'm not standing up here as a girl who hasn't been through some trials or who doesn't understand your pain. I remember Julia Roberts in that movie standing there in Notting Hill. She's going, I'm just a girl standing here wanting someone to love her. And all of us want that. All of us want those broken parts of our lives filled in. And I believe the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is here tonight to do just that. So I feel like there's some cherished girls that, man, have been dealing with some relational pain, and you're just kind of ready to stretch it out tonight and go, God, I've been dealing with this long enough. I just want to stretch it out. Some of you are tired of being tired. You're just tired of feeling like you're going through the motion and you're like a hamster on a wheel. You just can't push through. I believe God wants to give you a breakthrough tonight. Breakthrough. I think there's some of you here tonight, some beautiful girls that have held your heart back from other women because they've hurt you. And God said, nah, we're going to deal with this. We're going to get up in there. We're going to look up in there. We're going to take care of that. So I don't know what all is going on in your life, but I do know this. There is a God that wants access, but you have to decide what hand you put forward tonight. And I just encourage you, put forward the one that needs the healing so he can show up.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.